right, Life Point Church, thank you guys so much again for coming and hanging out with us here for Life Point Live, week three. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. And man, again, I want to start off by just saying a huge shout out and a thank you to everybody that is continuing to connect and engage with us online. I mean, it's so easy during this time for us to isolate or to be fearful and to not really be together because we can't be together physically, but everyone is doing such an incredible job of connecting and doing life together here on this online platform. So, man, I'm just so thankful that we have this, and I'm thankful for you guys for tuning in each week, for sharing, for doing these watch parties. You know, it's incredible, and I'm really stoked because there are so many people that typically didn't come to Life Point Church or who wanted to and just never got around to it that's able to tune in and hang out with us. So if that's you, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. And man, you are our honored guest, and we're excited that you're here. But today we're going to wrap up our current message series on the life of Jesus. And so as we dive into this, I want to remind you, again, hit that watch party, invite your friends. Man, get in that comment section, interact with each other, just do life together as we sit and we study the life of Jesus. And like I said, this is the fifth and final week of this message series. And what we're doing in this series is we're navigating through Scripture and we're taking a deep look at the life of Jesus. Some of the very unique and beautiful attributes that he lived out. Because in reality, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, right, if we're going to be Christ followers to live like him, then it's imperative that we actually know how he lived, right? Because if we don't know how he lived, then we can't model after him, our lives after him. We can't mimic him. And that's what we're called to do. So we need to know how he thought, right? We have to know how he functioned, what he put as important in his life, where he focused his time and his energy, and where he didn't. We need to know how he loved and how he treated other people. We need to truly understand who he was so that we can model our lives after him. And that's why in this series, we've kind of coined this phrase, this key thought, is that we're to live it, don't script it, right? We're going to live it. Live out the life of Jesus. We're not just going to script it. We're not just going to talk about it. People are so sick and tired of Christians talking about how much they know about Jesus or how much they know about the Bible, yet they don't really live it out. And that's what everyone is longing to see. And that's what's really going to create change in our world. That's what's going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Not us just talking about how much we know, but actually living out what we know about Jesus and living a life like Jesus. So far in this series, what we've discovered and looked at is that we see that Jesus lived a life of compassion. Jesus lived a life of passion. He lived a life of confidence. He wasn't afraid. Last week, we talked about how he lived a life of balance, this beautiful balance that made him as effective as he possibly could be, upright and on course. And today, in this fifth week, we're going to be talking about how Jesus lived a life of focus. And that's how he was able to live in all those other ways, like the passion, compassionate, balance, confidence, is because he was focused on what he was sent to do. He knew his purpose. He locked in with it. He knew why he was on this earth, and he focused everything on that one mission. That one thing. And see, for us today, I believe we are one of the most distracted generations of all time. There are millions of things that are constantly fighting for your and my attention all the time. And we get wrapped up in all these different things that may or may not be what our true purpose is. We get wrapped up and distracted by things, you know, some good things like our job. Or our spouse or our partner. We are distracted by our kids, by our extended family, by our friends, by social media. We're distracted by thinking about trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? Trying to make sure that we're on the top of the game, or that our Instagram looks right, and that our game is fresh. And we get distracted by that, or we get distracted by things like sports, video games, music. And the list could go on and on with all the things that we can get distracted with. And the result of that is that we lose focus on what's most important in our lives. We lose focus on a life connected with God. We lose focus on living out mission and purpose. And we start to snowball to where, when it's all said and done, we're just wondering. We don't even know really what we're doing. We're just wandering aimlessly because we're not focused on our mission. But when we live like Jesus, we're going to live it, not script it, and we're going to live a life of focus. And so as we've done each week in this series, the word focus in the Webster Dictionary is defined as a center of activity, attraction, or attention. So in order to live a life like Jesus, we have to ensure that our focus, our center of our activity, the center of our attention, is all focused on what matters most. And that is a focus on God, like I said, on mission, on the reason that He uniquely created you to be in the here and now. At this specific point in time in history, you were created for a purpose and for a reason. And we have to be focused in on that if we're going to be and do all that God has created us to be and do. And it's critical in our lives that we focus in on these things, that we're locked in. We've got to avoid distraction. And I made that list of kind of those things that distract us. And I'm not saying that those things are inherently bad, or that you have to eliminate all distraction in your life, all hobbies, or all maybe mindless leisure activities that you may have. That's not what I'm saying. But those things cannot supersede your purpose. They cannot trump your focus on what God has created you to do. There has to be balance, right? We talked about it last week. There has to be a balance there. But at the end result, the main piece is that we are focused in on our true purpose, not all the distractions. And so we have to really lock in on those things. And again, like we've done in each week of the series, Jesus is the ultimate and perfect example of this. And so let's go ahead and we're going to check out the life of Jesus, and we're going to look through scripture, and we're going to see three different ways in which he lived out focus in his life, ways that he lived a life of focus. And the first thing that we're going to see, it goes all the way back to Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, almost becoming a man. The very first thing that we see of Jesus is focus. And that's that Jesus was focused through his childhood. He was focused as a preteen. He was focused on his mission. When we look in Luke chapter 2, again, one of the first things that we read about Jesus other than his birth is him as a preteen, you know, as a 12-year-old. And so what we see is that every year Jesus and his parents would travel to Jerusalem for the Passover, the Feast of the Passover. And each year they would do that. So they went to Jerusalem. They went on this journey there. And then after they were there, the feast was over, they decided they were done. They were headed back home. They got a full day's journey down the road. And then Mary and Joseph realized, yo, Jesus is not with us. He's not here. You see, he was 12. So it was customary, and they traveled in these large caravans of people that the women would travel, and the women and the children would travel up front, and the men would travel in the back. Well, as a 12-year-old, Jesus could have been considered still a child, but he was becoming a man around in that culture. 12, 13-year-old, they were becoming men. So he honestly could have been with either group. And so, you know, that kind of classic thing is, you know, Mary thought he was with Joseph, Joseph thought he was with Mary, and next thing you know, Jesus is gone. And so they're, I'm sure, panicked. I mean, think about it. Not only did you lose track of your child, but they lost track of the Son of God, right? Jesus. It's kind of a big deal. not what they wanted to happen. So they looked for him. Once they couldn't find him, then they headed back to Jerusalem. And so we're going to pick up the story here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 46. It says, "Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. So they looked for 3 days before they found Jesus." Again, I'm sure they were panicked. So again, it was after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. You see, Jesus, he dipped out and left his parents, left the whole crew so that he could hang out in the temple and he could talk shop, right? With all the teachers, with all the religious leaders, he wanted to talk shop. He was focused in on what he was there to do. Verse 48, "So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" So as expected, again, Mary and Joseph, they were not too happy. I'm sure Jesus was literally probably about to get grounded. But check out Jesus' response to her grilling in verse 49. And he said this to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" In all of that, Jesus was just zeroed in and focused on being about his father's business. He was focused on his purpose. He was focused on God, what he was there to do. He lived a life of focus. And then as we follow Jesus' life, as he moved from adolescence to becoming a man and then beginning his earthly ministry, the next thing that we see is that Jesus was focused through his temptations. Jesus was focused through temptation. You see, just like you and me, Jesus faced temptation. Actually, he faced some of the most intense and extreme temptation because he was directly tempted by the devil when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And he was in the 40 day out there with, for 40 days without any food. So he was weak, he was fragile, and he was being tempted. And what we see is through that, he was focused. You see, after he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, he then, the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And this is where this all kind of began. And when the devil came to him, the first thing that we see is that he knew that Jesus was hungry. So he tempts him with food. He says to Jesus, he said, "If you really are the Son of God," right? He's trying to put doubt in there. It's what he does. He's trying to sow seeds of doubt. "If you really are the Son of God, then just tell those stones to become bread," right? You can do that. You're Jesus. You're a Son of God. Go ahead and tell those stones to become bread. And check out what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.'" He was focused. He responded to that temptation with scripture. He was reciting Deuteronomy 8:3. He was going back to the Old Testament. He was quoting scripture back to Satan to stop that temptation. And then when that didn't work, the devil then came back and he took Jesus up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "You see all this? I've been given dominion over all this. But if you will just bow down and worship me, it's yours. You can have it. You can have everything if you just worship me." And again, being focused, Jesus begins to recite scripture again. In Luke chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You are to worship the Lord your God, and that's it. Only God do you serve. Again, he's reciting scripture. That was Deuteronomy 6:13. That's where that's from. And then finally, the devil looked at Jesus and took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And then again, he's kind of tempted him here. And in this one, he actually then takes some scripture himself, and then he begins to tweak it and pervert it to try to manipulate Jesus. Again, he is the master of lies. He loves to take truth and tweak it and manipulate it and create this lie from it to try to trip you up. And that's what he was trying to do with Jesus also. He says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, we're up here on top of this temple, just jump. Go ahead. Because doesn't the scripture say he will order the angels to protect and to guard you? See, scripture says that, Jesus. So go ahead and jump. But Jesus, he was wise to it. He was wise to his game, and he wasn't going to fall victim because he was focused. And in verse 12, he says, he answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Which was him reciting again in Deuteronomy, but chapter 6, verse 16. He used scripture and truth every time to fight off the devil's attacks and his temptations. And he was only able to do that because he was focused on the mission. He was focused on what he was there to do. And he had focused his time enough to know scripture and to study it. He was doing it as a child so that when the temptation came, he could remain focused and fight off those attacks. He was living a life of focus. And then finally, and without a doubt, probably the most powerful example of Jesus's focus in his focus and of why he was here and being on mission. The most powerful example is that Jesus was focused through his suffering. He was focused through his suffering. And in my opinion, the perfect example of this is found when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested and then later crucified. He went into the garden with his disciples to pray. And in that prayer, man, he was laser focused. Check it out. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 38. Jesus told him this. Jesus said, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Then he tells them, stay here and keep watch with me. Then he went a little further, bowed his face to the ground, praying. This is what he prayed. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Jesus was, he was processing and working through this emotional suffering that he was going through, knowing what was to come and knowing what had to be done. It says he was crushed with grief to the point of death. He was emotionally and mentally suffering, but he was focused. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. And then he beautifully finished his prayer with focus. He says, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Man, that was a powerful prayer. Knowing what was to come. Asking God, is there another way? But if not, your will be done. Because he was focused on his purpose. He knew why he was there. He was dialed in, focused through his suffering. Then in verse 40, it says, then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. A lack of focus. He had told them, hey, stay watch and pray. And man, they're snoozing. But I can't be mad. That's probably what I would have done as well. But he finds them asleep, and then he says this to Peter. He says, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Then he says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So Jesus, he understood the importance of focus. Not only was he focused here in this prayer, but then he reiterated the importance of focus to his disciples. He said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. He said, your spirit is willing, but man, your body is weak. You may very well want to be focused and want to do the right thing and want to live out your purpose. But when those distractions come, man, if you are not focused, if you are not prayed up, if you don't have your eyes fixed on God, there's a good possibility that you're going to begin to drift. You're going to drift off course. You're going to drift away from what God has created you to do. You're going to drift away from your purpose. You have to always be focused, be ready, keep your eyes fixed on God. We have to live like Jesus, and he lived a life of focus. So let me ask you, can your life today be described as a life of focus? Are you focused on what matters most? Is the center of your activity and your attention locked in on your purpose? Locked in on what God has created you to do? Locked in on God himself? Or do the distractions reign supreme? Do you give in to them? You see, if you're a Christ follower, I want you to understand that you have a very real, very determined, and a very sneaky enemy. And he wants nothing more than to trip you up and to keep you off mission. Because if you are a Christ follower, he knows that he can't have your soul. That 100% belongs to God. You are connected to God for all eternity. However, he can and will go after the next best thing. And that's your focus. Because the reality is if he can't have your soul, he doesn't want you to be on mission. Because with the Holy Spirit living in you, he knows how powerful you are. And he knows what your purpose is. He knows your mission, and he knows what God sent you and created you to do. And if he can distract you from that, even just a little bit, if he can get you to go off course, he knows that you're more on the sidelines at that point, and then you're no longer sharing the gospel and living it out, and you're no longer introducing people to the life-changing life that is connected to Jesus. He knows that you're not out there, you know, telling people about him and offering hope and healing and love, and you're not passionate or compassionate or balanced or confident if you're distracted and you're not focused. And he knows that. And so he wants you on that side of things, not on the focus lane. So we have to stand guard, right? We have to be focused. We have to be prayed up. And that's exactly why Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, stay alert, right? Stay focused. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's who he is. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to devour you. And if he can't have your soul, he's going to distract and distract and distract. Because he knows how important you are to the kingdom and how powerful you are with the Holy Spirit living in you. So we have to follow the lead of Jesus. And we have to live a life of focus. And today, right, 2020, in the middle of the constant push for social distancing, right, I got to hang out with some of my friends last night, but we didn't do it in person. We did it on Zoom, right? I mean, that's our new reality. So we have time. This is the perfect time to begin to lock in and redefine your focus. Because many of our distractions, many of those things that keep us distracted and off mission and off course, or keep us from being truly connected and focused on Jesus, a lot of those things have actually been removed from us altogether. I mean, think about, and it's not banging on sports, but think about if that's one of your main distractions is sports, either playing sports or watching sports. Well, there's no live sports, no sporting events going on other than watching, you know, old highlight reels of, you know, other people. That we don't have that anymore. You can't just go out and go play a pickup game of ball. You can't do that. So we need to take advantage of this time. Maybe one of the things that you're constantly distracted with is your job. You put more effort into your job than in your relationship with Jesus. And maybe you find yourself now at home, not working or working from home. And that's tough. And if that's you and you're struggling that way, man, we're going to continue to pray for you. Let us know how we can love on you here at LifePoint. But take this as an opportunity. Switch your perspective a little bit and say, okay, how can I regain my focus during this time? It's kind of a reset for us. One that maybe we didn't want, but we can take advantage of this, especially as it relates to us living a life like Jesus. So if you want to be all that God created you to be and do all the things that he's created you to do, You've got to lock in and stay focused. Everything that you say and do has to be about mission and purpose and leading in that direction and keeping our eyes fixated on Him. Jesus, may He live an incredible and beautiful life. Passionate, compassionate, balanced, confident, all the things that we want, but it all came through Him being focused on what mattered most. And He was focused on His Father. He was about His Father's business. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You again so much for this opportunity to come together online via the internet. And God, You're just, it's so incredible that we can still be together during this crazy time that we're currently living in. And God, I pray for each person that's watching right now, or those that'll watch here shortly after the fact, whether it be on YouTube or on our website or whatever that platform is, God, that they watch it. Lord, I pray for each of them. I pray that You would bless their lives. I pray that You would keep them healthy. And God, during this time, I pray that not only would they find rest, but they would also begin to refocus their lives, refocus their vision, refocus their hearts on You, on the things that really matter. God, speak that to them. Let them know what those distractions are and how they either need to eliminate them or strike a better balance with those things so they can be focused on You and on Your mission and on Your calling and purpose in their life. God, use us for Your glory. God, may we worship You, and may we be focused on You. God, may You change the game, continue to change lives, and give us hope upon hope upon hope. Jesus, we love You, and we thank You. And it's Your name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you guys so much for being here with us today and hanging out with us here online. If this is your first time with us, man, thank you again so much for checking us out. Thank you for hanging in here with us during this time. And if you want more information about LifePoint, go ahead and drop a comment below, or you can send us a direct message. That would be great. We'll get back in touch with you. Or if you want more information about what it looks like, what it takes to truly be connected with Jesus, to give your life to Him, and for Him to be your Lord and Savior, hit me up with a direct message, and man, I will 100% get back with you. We can Zoom, or we can get on the phone and we'll talk through it. It'll be amazing. So we definitely want to do that. Or if you have any other prayer needs or questions or physical or financial needs, man, hit us up. Let us know. We're here for you guys. We love you. And we're going to do our best to continue to do life together through this time. Also, if you call LifePoint Church home, and I know I say that every week, but I want you to understand this, that I'm only speaking to those people that call LifePoint their home church. You can still give online, though we're not meeting in person. You can give online. So if you go to our website, top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click that, it'll take you to a safe and secure site where you can give. And we just encourage you to continue to give faithfully, give biblically, so that we continue to move forward, reach as many people as we can with the good news about Jesus and love on people. And man, when we come out of this time, over the next probably year or so, there's going to be a lot of needs that are going to be met. And we want to be a beacon of hope in our city. And we want to be able to help meet those needs. So I hope that you'll get in on that action and begin to give biblically and just be a part of that with us. Finally, if you want to join a online life group, we're going to be launching those. We've already got a couple going on. We're going to be launching a new one. It's going to be Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. So if you want to get in on that, send Daniel Henderson an email. His email is danielh@lifepointelville.com. That's LIFEPOINTELVILLE.com. So hit him up with an email and he'll get back in touch with you and get you set up for that. But again, thank you all so much. We love you. Thanks for doing life with us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you guys again soon here online. Love you guys.